Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Berti, the content marketing expert, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgaberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. There's a lot of talk about driving traffic, getting people to our landing pages, getting people to our sales pages, but none of that is going to matter if we are not crafting effective sales copy. We need to have copy that is going to drive people's attention to what we're doing. And that is going to be the focus of this episode. How do we create that sales copy and also be able to grow our businesses in the process? So today's guest specializes in growing and scaling companies. His most recent company is on track to do $40 million in gross revenue. And he's a serial entrepreneur who develops systems to help other entrepreneurs run multiple companies without having to be there. In 2012, he appeared on the ABC show Extreme Weight Loss and lost over 250 pounds. He has overcome a stutter. He has gone from the bottom of the corporate ladder all the way to the top of the mountain, and he loves helping others do the same. And now, here he is on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. Today's guest for episode 273 of the podcast is none other than Michael Giannoulis. Michael, hey. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, man, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Yeah, and you bring the energy. I love it.
Michael, thank you so much for being on the show, because I know we're going to get into a lot of great insights. But before we do that, can you just give us a background for how you got started, why you got into business? Just fill in the backstory for us.
Yeah, sure. And I'll keep it brief because I can tend to ramble. So I'll just go here and say, you know, I got started in the internet kind of space way back in the old days of 2006. So 12 years ago, I started playing around, and I learned a lot about how to sell info products and books, CDs, audios, events. I actually got a job at a direct sales sort of direct response company that sold personal development products. And I was trained there for a few years, how to write copy, how to write ads that convert people, how to build funnels, all that stuff, kind of before it was more, you know, nowadays people talk and they'll say funnels and things like that. But back then, that was kind of a new thing. And we helped to develop some of those things. And it was just a very fun time. And then I've, you know, since then, I've gone on to launch several of my own companies, teaching info, doing a little bit of coaching, consulting, helping people, you know, scale companies, and more or less finding now, instead of doing the work for others over the last few years, I've sort of transitioned to where I find the experts and own the company, and I work with them to provide content. So it's been quite an interesting change for me.
That is a nice brief backstory. And one of the things that is interesting is you mentioned like optimizing all these different things and also attracting people to them, because we have a kind of chicken and the eggs or the egg scenario where you get sales by writing the sales copy. But in order to get the sales, you have to attract people to see that sales copy. So we will dive into this later, but which of those would you focus on first? So would you focus on getting all the copywriting skills, being able to write that great copy, or would you first focus on traffic generation?
That's a great question. I've not actually been asked that before, and I think my answer is going to be a little different than the average. I honestly would say that it depends on the person, on the individual. So if you're someone that enjoys writing and doesn't mind it, I would definitely say copywriting. In general, I would pick, if I had to, because, but of course, I'm going to be a little biased, but I'm going to say copywriting, unless you've already got a bent or a skill set towards the traffic side. Because even when you're doing traffic side, you still have to write those ads to get people to click on them, right? So you still got to be able to take the you know, the primary benefit or primary pain point and call out to that particular audience. So I guess I'll retract some, and I would say copy should be first. But if you're already driving traffic and you sort of have that skill, it's a great skill to have, but you need both. So at the end of the day, it's very hard to be great at both of those things. Like, I'm way better at writing copy than I am at running traffic, especially these days. Now the traffic side has become a lot more technical. It's a lot more Google tracking to see how everything goes, installing pixels, reading reports. It's not as creative as you would think it is. There's even a large part of it that is just, you know, spinning out 50 different pictures with 50 different headlines and letting the computer algorithm test all those. You know, it's like, it's not like the old days where you would sit there for days and craft the perfect angle for the perfect ad. It's nowadays, it's more like, here, let's just throw in, you know, 300 options, and the computer will spin through all of them. It'll do 3,000 split tests for the next week or two, and then it'll tell us which thing won. And it's not always what you think it is, you know? So there is a shift happening on the traffic side. That's new, and it's just getting started. So it'll continue to build up there. So I view the copy side now as a lot more creative, and I'm seeing the traffic side being a lot more technical. So that's when I first said, it just depends on what your skill sets are. If you're naturally more technical and gravitate towards like solving problems, like math and all that fun stuff, you might be better to work on the traffic side and partner with someone on the copy side. And then the opposite too is true. If you're better creative, writing, sales, then, you know, it'll be a little bit tougher for you to figure out the traffic side, because, as I said, these days it's like 90% of your time is spent looking at stats.
And I agree that there's a lot of technical to traffic. I mean, I'm currently using Thrive Leads to grow my email list on my blog, and it's a lot of work setting one of those things up, making sure it all works. And again, really being able to look at those numbers. So whether it's Facebook ads or Google or just insight optimization, that stuff is getting very technical. But I'd like to shift to the copy first. As you mentioned, you would do the copy first just based on your skill set. But I mean, one of the things you can possibly do is delegate one or the other based on what you're not as good at. That's another conversation for another day, perhaps, or just something we could touch on later. But the main thing I want to focus on is with the copy. I know pain points you mentioned before is something really important, being able to tap into those. How do you weave those into the copy and figure out what exactly those pain points are?
Yeah. So basically what it comes down to, the first probably 50% of writing copy or writing an ad is research. It's finding out what your potential customer is dealing with. What are the problems that they're facing, and how does your product or service solve those problems? So many people, when they're writing ads, especially like corporate-y kind of ads, their whole idea is to brag about themselves and talk about, you know, we're a family-run business and we're honest and ethical and we've been around since 1950, right? That's all great. That's good stuff. But at the end of the day, most people don't really care. They don't care so much about what you do or where you're from, right? They want to know, what can you do for me? So depending upon what it is you're trying to sell, you want to begin to look for, there's kind of like two different sides to it. And some people struggle with, you know, which side to do first. I always say, think about what you're best at. So there's the pain side, And then there's the benefits side. And kind of what I've done is most people are, especially if you're the type that likes to write and write creative stuff, you're going to probably be a little bit more of an optimist than you would be a pessimist. Now, it could be not true, but in general, that's what I've seen whenever I've like spoken at events and stuff. It's just probably like 80% of the people would say, yes, I'm more of an optimist. So what I do is I will sit down and I'll think about the product and I'll write down what are all the benefits that this product provides. So how does it make the customer do whatever thing they're trying to do faster or easier or simpler or cheaper? Does it save money? Does it save time? Does it save energy? Is it better for their health? Like, you know, what are all the things that the product actually does? And I call these, you know, these are like called benefits. What does it do for the person? Once you get those things down, you have maybe say 10, 20, 30 of them. Then what I like to do is to discover the pain points is I create a new column and I call it anti-benefits. And all I do is I take what the benefit was and then I make it the opposite of it. So if the benefit was saves you time, then a pain point would be cost you time or a waste time. If a benefit was, you know, I'm just trying to think of some general thing. If a benefit was, you know, take this pill and you'll lose 5 pounds your first week or whatever, right? And, you know, then your pain point would be, you know, why struggle on a treadmill for 20 hours to lose 5 pounds when you take this pill, right? So it's basically flipping it on its head, taking a benefit and spinning it and saying, what's the anti-benefit or what would happen if they don't have this product? It's easier to think that way. And then the cool part is when you go about taking all this stuff and actually starting to write your sales piece or your ad, you can weave these things together. So towards the opening, you can open with a lot of the pain points. Are you tired of struggling at the gym just to gain all the weight back? Is it frustrating seeing, you know, as your pants don't fit like they did before, right? You know, all these little pain points. And then because you have those are the anti-benefits, because you have all the benefits, you can then go back and when you get to that section and start talking about the good things. And then the cool part is your product will almost appear like magically to be solving the problem that you helped create in their mind. You didn't create it, you harnessed it, but it was already there. You just got to it. Now, some people will say, okay, well, I'm just not sure, you know, how to find these benefits or how to find these pain points. The easiest way is research. And there's a few different ways that you can do this. One way is to go to Amazon and look for books that are in your industry, whatever niche you're going to be in, and read some of the 5-star reviews. And you'll see people talking about, I like this, I love this, it was cool with this, it helped me solve this problem or this thing. And you'll get a lot of benefits from that. But then more importantly, read the 1-star reviews and maybe the 2 stars. And there's going to be some that are just going to be stupid. Like I book didn't show up on time, you know, but you're going to find quite a few that are like, I wish the book would have talked about this, this, and this, because the real problem is this, this, and this. They're going to start giving you like great, great feedback. I mean, these are people that are in the niche that are not being properly serviced because they're not getting the whatever, you know, they feel like they need. So you can use that. The other thing that you can also do is on YouTube, a lot of people will do like a daily or weekly sort of like YouTube diary. This is especially true with like the weight loss. You know, you'll see people, hey, it's day one. I want to lose 50 pounds this year. I'm going to just every day update you on my process. If you have the time, you can skim through those and you can see what are the problems. What are they talking about? What are the issues? If they screwed up, why? What are those things? And they do that for all sorts of different things. But those are two kind of quick ways that you could actually go do some kind of like on the ground research for your niche, your topic, your product, and find those pain points and the benefits. And then when you find them, don't be afraid to do the other side of that. So if you find the benefit, turn that into a pain point. If you find a pain point, turn it into a benefit.
And it's interesting how you mentioned having column for benefits and the anti-benefit, where you say instead of like, I mean, you mentioned the example earlier, it's somehow blanking out of my mind, but like you mentioned how instead of like, let's say gaining muscle, it could be like losing weight or something like that. So it's a really interesting concept that you have there. And like some people respond like stronger when it's like, oh, this is something that you lose, like a frustration, versus that this is something that you can gain. And you see that with news where like more of the stories tend to be negative. It's tapping into that human psychology. And I really like how you mentioned the different ways we can research Amazon reviews. I'll be honest, Content Marketing Secrets. Like I did put a lot of effort into that book, but one of the reviews was could have used better examples. And that's going to be something that I use in my future books, my future courses, incorporating more examples. So you learn a few things by also looking at some of the reviews that other people have shared. But after we have written the copy, we put it out there, we see how everything's going. Let's say like no sales, no clicks, a flat one. How do we make changes to that copy so that it's no longer flat?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, and this will happen. And unfortunately, it's part of the process. So I don't want people to get discouraged, because even someone like me, I've been writing copy for a long, long time. I have a whole team of people that write copy, and we don't get hits every time. You know, there's going to be the truth is you're going to have to keep trying. There are a few little tricks though that you can do that sort of like punch up copy, and kind of it's just a trick that I use to hone in on what I know people want. And I use this also to make sure that what I'm going to sell is what people want, because that's the other thing. Let's talk about this. Let's say like you just said, you wrote something and it just sucks. You're not getting sales. People go to it and they just don't do anything. The areas that you want to focus on first and foremost, there's two areas that are really the main things. One is your headline and lead. Headline, of course, most people know that's just like the very first thing that you read, like discover my secrets to growing massive tomatoes, right? You know, like it's usually a benefit driven piece, and people, and it kind of draws them in because they're like, hey, I want to grow those. So let's go read more. That let's go read more. That's the lead. So the lead is around the first, you know, maybe the first two or three paragraphs, and it should really expound upon what the headline opened up with. The reason why this part's so important is because this is the part that pretty much everyone that hits the ad is going to read. And it's the job of the headline and the lead, the first paragraph or two, is that's going to determine if people actually read anything else. So if that part doesn't work, then the reality is you don't even know if it's a bad offer, right? You don't know, because they're not even getting there. A lot of like people smarter than me, very famous people from the old days, they would estimate that 80% of your ad cost was spent just to get people to read the headline. And about 80% of them didn't read past it. It was that 20% that do that you end up getting your sales from. So you've got to constantly, really, first and foremost, hone in on that opening piece. And there's lots of different types of headlines and ways that you can focus on that. But you want to make sure that there's something in it for the reader. What's the benefit for them? Why should they read on? Why do they want more? So let's say you're feeling pretty good about that. You might have like a software installed that shows you how far people scroll, for example. And you feel like, yeah, people are scrolling past that, so that's good. The next area, the I think the second most important is the actual offer. Like, what's the actual offer? What's in it for the person? Is it something that they want? Is it priced right? Sometimes it just comes down to price or the way it's structured. If you're trying to sell a $2,000 product, it may be easier to sell that for $199 for 12 months, you know, and get a little bit more money, but it might be an easier sell if you could afford that. Or it might be worth, you know, doing it as a trial. So, hey, it's $2,000, but for $50, try it out for a week. And if it's not what you want, we won't charge you. You know, you come up with all these different angles. And as part of the offer, I even include in that, what's your guarantee? Can you put a performance guarantee in there? Something like, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z and don't see ABC, then I'll, you know, refund you. Plus, I'll do this for you. Or I'll do this. I'll do that for you. Right. That just shows how confident you are in your product or your service. I've seen a lot of agencies, you know, come out with say, hey, I'll run your ads for you for your first month. And if you don't, if it's not the best, you know, thing ever, then it's, you know, don't pay me a cent, right? Like those kind of things. So you want to look at your headline, the kind of opening lead. Then you want to look back at the offer. But when it comes to the actual copy, and I get this a lot, there are people that say, I'll just sit there and I'll stare at the screen and I don't know what to write about next, right? Well, one of the big things that I teach is feels. You want to give your reader the feels. And feels is an acronym. One thing about me is I love acronyms. I create them all the time, which is weird, but it's just like my hobby. What I look for is not only in a product that I would like to sell, but also in how you advertise that product. You want to make sure, does that product and does the copy give the prospect the feels? And these are five things that pretty much across the board, any product, any niche, this is what people want. Now, your product won't always give people these things, and you don't want to promise it will if it can't. But you want to do your best to put your you know, what you're trying to sell into the best light possible. So what does feel stand for? The F is fast. So people want results, and they want results quickly. They don't want to wait around. That's why you don't see very many diet programs that are like, lose 1 pound a week for the next year. You know, like, that's probably more realistic, but people want to always push the envelope with these faster results. You lose 20 pounds your first month, right? Not saying that you have to push it. What I'm saying is, if there is a component of your product that can happen fast, figure out what it is and highlight that, because people want speed. They want results now. The E is easy. People want stuff that's easy. Every single breakthrough that we make as humans is pretty much making our lives easier, right? If you think about it, every new thing that comes out, you know, every new iPhone is a little bit easier to use than the one before, or at least it's supposed to be. Every, you know, lawnmower that gets updated, it's like, push this button and now it does this for you. And every robot we build is to do stuff for us, right? We're people that we love to do less. So I'm not saying, and this goes back to the fast too, fast and easy. It doesn't have to be fast and easy. It can be faster than going on your own, or it could be easier than going on your own. So if you're an expert karate instructor, it would probably be a whole lot easier to meet with that person to meet with a karate instructor and learn to become a black belt than watching a YouTube thing, right? So it can just be easier. Doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it's easier. Then the second E is expert. And this speaks to authority. So especially this day and age, you know, with the internet and everyone's out there screaming promises and claims, and I can do this and I can do that. More than ever, people want authority. They want that expert. So as you're writing copy, you know, look for things in your background or in your history or in your product that separates you out. So anything that you can talk about, you're featured in a, like, you've got a book, you know, I wrote this book, or I was on this TV show, or I was even on a podcast, whatever it is, people want proof. So part of that expert category is also proof. So if you're going to make a claim, then back it up. So anytime there's a claim, if you have proof, that packs 10 times the amount of punch. Because instead of just saying, you know, everyone that took this pill lost 5 pounds. Okay, maybe, right? But if you were able to say, in a double-blind study we did in 2017, overseen by Dr. blah, 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 a third-party doctor we brought in, you know, we did, you know, blah, 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 everyone lost 5 pounds. Or suddenly it's like, oh, that makes a ton of sense, right? So you want to have that expert side there. That doesn't mean you have to be an expert. It just means that you need to be able to explain why they should trust you. Why should they believe you? Why should they do what you say? The next one is probably one of my favorite ones, and that's the L, and that's lifestyle. And what this one speaks to is the benefit of the benefit. Get into the root cause. Because, you know, we talk about, you know, and people that want to start their own business, right? Or they want to, you know, or something like that. We'll just keep that one. We'll say they want to start their own business. Many people will write the benefits of starting your own business. But what they don't think about sometimes is why do they want their own business? It's usually more a lifestyle thing. So we can look at it and say, okay, what do they actually want? They want to spend more time with their kids. They want to be able to go on more trips with their spouse. They want to, you know, like take the kids to soccer every day. They want to take them to school. They want to pick them up, right? So instead of focusing on just the technical benefits, like you can own your own business, you could make more money, right? Those are all just like ancillary kind of surface benefits. Now let's look beyond that and see what's next. What do they actually want? And the more you can focus on the lifestyle aspect of life after the product is being used and the success has been achieved, that's what you want. A great example that I use often is, you know, talking about, okay, you can burn 5 pounds of fat. Okay, that's a benefit, right? But a lifestyle benefit is, imagine you're female, you know, getting to wear that little black dress you haven't worn in 10 years, and you walk down the stairs and your husband's jaw drops when he sees you, right? That's a tangible lifestyle change that is a lot more visual. Like, I'm sure you in your mind could probably see that versus, you know, let's obliterate 5 pounds of fat. Okay, well, sure, right? And then finally, the S is system. And this is what people love. Most people, sadly, it's very true for a huge swath of us, don't really trust ourselves to do it right. We're kind of like, yeah, I don't know, I'll try. But if you give me a recipe, or you give me a system, or you give me a process, then I believe I could probably follow that. So if you look at most things that are sold, they're always usually more valuable when they're packaged up as a system. So that's why buying a franchise can cost way more than just buying like a little internet course, right? You can buy an internet course for $2,000 because it's not really giving you a system. It's perhaps giving you a systematic way. But if you buy a McDonald's franchise, which is might cost you millions, but that's a real system. They have everything. So people want that. So the more that you can productize your product into a system, where people follow, do A, do B, do C, do D, you know, that's where you'll start to really attract people, because that's what they want. So just to recap it, it's fast, easy, expert, lifestyle, system. That's what people want. You can also, I've just come up with this now, but there's also sort of the law of the reverse. So you can also make fun of all those things if you're in an industry where that's overdone, where people are screaming, this is fast, this is the easiest, I'm the biggest expert ever, then you can actually do the opposite and say, it's going to take forever. It's going to be really, really hard. It's not going to happen fast, but it's going to be worth it. You know, so you can actually spin it depending upon your industry. And that gets to a whole other topic talk, which is about the sophistication of your audience and where they're at in their journey and where the industry's at in its journey, because it's always cycling. You know, so that may be a little bit much, but that's the, you know, that's the shorter version.
Michael, I really love that acronym. Definitely something very easy to remember, giving us an idea of what we can craft in our copy to get conversions, and also what we could do to tweak our existing copy to boost the conversions of that as well. But now we've talked a lot about copy. How do we switch the plug and go from, okay, we've got this copy, it's doing really well, to being able to generate a lot of traffic to it?
Yeah, so, you know, the biggest thing about traffic is you really do need some sort of an offer, right? So you do have to begin there. So let's say you've got your offer, you wrote it. Now take your biggest benefits, and you're going to want to start to write some ads. Right now, the easiest place to turn ads on right now is probably going to be Facebook. That's just like, I mean, they've been through a lot. They've taken some hits, and it's a little bit tougher right now because they're being very, very strict. But that's probably the easiest place to start if you're just kind of trying to get started. On Facebook, you know, they have a self-serve platform, so you want to just get in there and, you know, start creating your first ad. And what you want to ask yourself before you turn on any ad, and this applies to any platform, is what goal do I have? What am I trying to achieve? You know, begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey said. So what is it that, you know, what is it you're trying to achieve? Do you want to just build your brand? So just would you be happy if people just saw your picture and they said, oh, look at that guy, cool. You know, if no, what else do you want? Do you want people to click to the site just to see it and maybe they'll call you? Okay, that's an option. Maybe you want to get people's information. So maybe you want a lead. Maybe you want them to fill out a form and, you know, give their name, their email, their phone, you know, their address, whatever. The, you know, it all comes down to what you're trying to do. And finally, maybe you want them to take some other action, like maybe you want them to buy something. The cool thing is Facebook allows you to decide that right up front, what it is that you want. And for me, and most things that I do, I either want a lead or sale of some sort. So going back to, we said, the technical side, you actually have to place pixels, which can be hard, but it's not really hard. You just have to follow the instructions or get someone. You can go on Fiverr for $5 and find someone who will could do this for you, but you basically put this little code on the site and you then begin to have your ads angling for that goal that you set. So how do you write your ads, right? That's a good question. So what I like to do is I like to take the similar concept of the opening of my ad and make that, I'm sorry, of the sales page, and make that similar to the opening of the ad that I write. So on Facebook, you know, you also want to think about the platform that you're on. So when you're on Facebook and you're going to write an ad, you got to think about who's on Facebook and what kind of mindset or frame of mind are they in when they come across your ad. So they're on Facebook scrolling around, and they're probably just saw their uncle's crazy post about something, and then they saw like a cute cat picture, then a baby, and then they read some article that they liked, and you know, and then bam, there you are. There's your ad. So you got to put yourself into their mindset. Where are they at? What do they want? What are they experiencing? Because Facebook is a social network, right? So everyone that's on there, they're social. Even Facebook itself has recently really downranked brands. So you're seeing less from brands than ever. They're really, really now focusing on, they want you to see like your friends and your family and the baby pictures and the vacations, right? That's what they're angling for. So you want to match or fit into that world. So for us, that's been writing longer posts that read more like a status update than read like an ad. So we'll actually have stuff in there like, like, hey, you know, I was just thinking about boom, and then you go into a little bit of what you're offering or what you have. So there's definitely a component of it where you want to kind of test it, because sometimes you could just do a short actual ad, but in general, anything that screams ad for stuff that we've done has just not performed well. So you can tell a story, you can kind of get people prepped for whatever it is you're going to sell, or whatever page two you're going to send them on. You can almost view your Facebook ad as page one of a funnel, you know? So anyway, that's some advice. It's tough on a shorter podcast, you know, in other words, talking in general, but that would be where I would start if I was trying to start now.
And I really like to focus on Facebook ads, because I mean, I know there's been some controversy with Facebook, but its ad platform is still a very dominant way to reach out and connect with people who can really benefit from the services and products that you provide. But one of the things that I want to tap on also is that some people aren't doing Facebook ads. They're not driving traffic, not creating copy. So what do you believe holds most people back from being able to drive traffic to their copy and also be great copywriters?
Well, I think one for great copywriters is time. You got to put in your time. You got to practice. You have to read and research and spend money. You know, you got to buy courses and programs and go to events. Like I just even last year, I paid a very, very famous copywriting coach, you know, a lot of money for a year of coaching to get better myself, but to also learn how to train other people. I was like, hey, teach me how to do what you do as well, you know, and that was something that it was very expensive. And I think a lot of people are kind of afraid to put in the investment because they're not sure if they're going to follow through with it. So you've got to make sure this is what you actually want to do and that you're going to put in the follow through. On the traffic side, I think there's a lot of fear. I think it's very much like, oh, I don't want to waste money, you know, but the thing is, you've got to look at, I think if people can shift the way they think, is that the first probably 100 to 1,000 bucks you spend on any ad, especially like on Facebook, is really testing and buying data. So I think that most people they'll try an ad once, they'll spend 40 bucks, not make a sale and go, oh, this doesn't work, stop it. And the problem is you're stopping way too soon, because Facebook needs time to go out and find the right audience, and it's constantly improving. So if you could see, if you picture like almost like a stock price chart, you'll see that your conversions are usually the most expensive when you get started, and then they'll drop off as Facebook kind of finds the core audience that resonates with your offer. And then eventually it'll climb back up once it's kind of ran out of those people that have seen that ad. And then that's when you know, okay, now it's time to create a new ad and kind of start over the whole process. So that, you know, on the traffic side, I think it's just lack of information. I think we think, you know, most people think, okay, I'll buy an ad. It's either going to work or it's not. And there's some truth to that, but at the same time, you got to be prepared to kind of ride it out, get some results, do some split tests, try different photos, different headlines, different angles. And then once you find the one that does work, that does hit, then you can scale that thing up. And you have to look at your traffic spend as a blend of all those things.
And I really like one of the core messages you said, which is this may not work in the beginning, but if you keep going, it's going to happen. And I see that a lot with Facebook ads, where when you first run an ad, it's not like you get that $1 to $2 rate of conversion that everyone says. It's like the holy grail of Facebook ads. It takes a while to reach that level. Some people reach it very quickly. Others take a little longer. But the people who reach it are the people who are persistent. So when you have something that you're really ambitious about, don't give up on it if you don't see results right away. Don't be a seeker of instant gratification, because usually takes a lot more than an instant gratification to achieve monumental success in traffic and copywriting. And one of the things that I wanted to touch upon also is that you mentioned copywriting, and copywriting is like a form of writing, and we're persuading each other to perform different actions. And one of the things that I like to encourage people to do is learn as much as possible. And with that in mind, Michael, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Sure. So it's always tough because I have so many books out there that I love. One of my favorite books of all time, this is more of a copywriting book, but it's just so good. It's called Breakthrough Advertising. It's by a guy named Eugene Schwartz, and it's very, very hard to find this book, but it's out there if you dig around. So that's one of my all-time favorite books. Second book that I personally like a lot right now is a book by a guy named Jordan Peterson, just called 12 Rules for Life. And it just is like some common sense things about, you know, how to live and how to accept life for what it is, as opposed to what we think it should be. And kind of, I think along those lines is The Daily Stoic, which I think that's that might be the journal that goes with the book, but it's basically all about how to be stoic, which is basically saying it's not like being stoic in the sense that we think of it as like standing in the face of danger with a you know, straight face and no fear. You know, that's what we think of as stoic, but in reality, stoic is actually a philosophical thing. It's been around for quite some time, and the basic premise is we don't really have control over the things that happen to us. Some things we do, but not everything. But what we do have control of always is our response to it and how we deal with it. And when I was younger, I heard this, and I've always thought it's so good. It's this quote that says, "It's not the problem that's the problem; it's the way we handle the problem that's the problem." And I've always thought about that, and it's just true. So that book for me helped me a lot. Just to kind of, it was an idea that I already had in my mind, but I just hadn't ever thought of it in that way. And it's just basically the idea of our response to the world is really is about all we can control. We can control our own actions, and we can control our own thoughts. Beyond that, you know, most everything else is completely random. And many people, you know, go through hard times, go through struggles, and they want to blame people or this is why this happened or why did this go on. And at the end of the day, those things doesn't really solve anything, right? You just got to say, okay, this is what happened. This is what I can do. This is what I will do. And it's hard when you're going through something tough. It's hard because it's easier for the mind to just say, hey, you know, I'll blame it on this person. I'll blame it on this. But at the end of the day, you know, it's better to just accept the world as it is and go from there.
Michael, thank you for those really deep thoughts and book recommendations. All those recommendations will be in the show notes, markabarty.com/E270. We will also throw in content marketing secrets in there, because we just came out with the audiobook recently, so that will be in the show notes as well. But before we wrap up this episode, Michael, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Good question. I think a question that we should all ask ourselves is, you know, how can I make an impact with my business? You know, I guess how can I make a better impact with my business? Like, what is it that I'm doing right now, and how can I make more of an impact in the world? This is the thing I've been beginning to ask myself, because I met a guy, and his company sponsors children in the Ukraine and is doing all these things like Operation Backpack, and it got me thinking, man, I could be doing a lot more good in, you know, apart from creating products and services, but I could also take the business and the customers we have and aim a little bit of that towards doing good works. And so that's something that I've been focusing on. And I think it'd be cool if you own a company, you know, think about this, because it not only do you feel good because you've helped these other people, but it also gives your employees and your customers sort of like a focus, you know, like you're one team and you're doing this together. And that gives unity, that gives vision, and it kind of makes it gives purpose at the end of the day. So that's the thing that I would encourage people to ask.
Michael, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Michael, he has this ebook called How to Obliterate the Blank Page, which helps you write better sales copy. That link will be in the show notes. But Michael, you mind sharing with us for the listeners where we can get access to that, and maybe a little more place we can find you as well?
Yeah, for sure. You can go download the book. It's available. I put up a page just for people that are here on this podcast. It's at onlyonemic.com/breakthrough. That's onlyonemic.com/breakthrough. And that only one mic is spelled with an O-N-E. onlyonemic.com/breakthrough. And when they go there, it's all on the page. They can download it and take advantage of it. And if they're on my site, that's where everything's at. So you can find me Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff.
Thank you for sharing all that with us. Again, that will be in the show notes. But I mean, a lot of great insights here about writing copy and then being able to drive traffic to it as well. So thank you for sharing your insights with us.
Oh, thank you. It's been awesome, man. Glad to be here.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn